Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
On the text line, the only game you guys need to watch is Denver at Carolina. Well, we're doing that tomorrow.
That's up next, buddy. Stay tuned.
There's no comparison. Teddy Bridgewater can't do what Drew does. The video review is an exercise in... Well, I can't say that word on the...
Well, you should read it before you.
I think you're missing the point here, texter. Channeling my inner Sandy right there. Texter. Caller. Josh. The concept is to look at common defenses. And when we look at Carolina, Denver, I'm not opposed to it. We definitely will, and we'll enjoy doing it. But you realize at no point did Drew Locke play the Denver defense, nor did Teddy Bridgewater play the Carolina defense.
Got it. Are you calling Raj dumb, or what
no.
are you doing right now?
No.
You calling your boss dumb? That's not a good idea.
No, we might have run out.
You should never question your boss, especially on air. It's not a good idea.
We may have run out of common opponents, and that would make sense at the end. I don't know. No, definitely not.
I would have found ways to validate it personally.
Yeah. We know that the Broncos beat Carolina, so, hey, you know what?
Here's what I remember this game as, and I'll be curious to see if it comes out the same way that I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Teddy Bridgewater moving the ball very well, and then doing Teddy Bridgewater deals, and getting down in the lower red zone and struggling and not being able to score points.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Drew Locke having a pretty decent game, but not a fantastic game.
Mm.
I'll be curious to see how it ends up turning out. I think what the net result is going to be, Teddy Bridgewater played a whole lot better than what the points showed. But, of course, red zone matters, and that's a part of the story and how you overall evaluate a guy.
Well, that is tomorrow. We look forward to it. I love doing the film rooms. Love it. Love it, love it. Hopefully we can do more throughout the course of the summer leading up to training camp. Mount Palumbus speak. Your mistake is thinking that Locke won't be better. Dude's coming into his third year, which is when quarterbacks make the biggest jump, the bounce. Plus, his second season in the same offense, which he's never had in his career, while Bridgewater is capped.
Mount Palumbus.
I love it. I get it. And again, I feel like I'm going to repeat the exact same rant that I had from yesterday. Pay attention, please. Everybody listen up. I agree. If Drew Locke improves, he is the better option. The reason that Drew Locke is not the better option right now is because he could cost you 2 to 3 wins easily. He threw 15 interceptions last year, and Teddy Bridgewater is not going to cost you those games. So if Drew Locke improves, I am personally rooting for him. That's who I want to win the job. That means that we've got a better future with Drew Locke. It is brighter. And you've got a potential to still have your long-term answer at quarterback if Drew Locke can win this battle. It is a good deal for the Broncos. And absolutely, in theory, he could improve. But I'm going to tie this one directly into somebody else's text here. And they say, hey, you guys are a bunch of ignoramuses. Well, that's a good one. I actually get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand that one. Teddy Bridgewater is a 6 or 7 year veteran. Last year was basically Drew Locke's rookie year. Compare apples to apples. No, that's not the exercise. That's not the point. When Teddy Bridgewater comes into town, which is going to be happening here when OTAs begin, he will still be in his 8th year. So he isn't going to revert. He is not going back to his 2nd year or his 3rd year like Drew Locke will be in. So when you compare the two guys and when they show up in practice, Teddy Bridgewater is going to show that he is an 8-year veteran. That's exactly what he's going to look like. So what we're looking at on film right now is the exact battle you're going to be looking at in training camp. So you don't have to go back to Teddy Bridgewater's 2nd year. It doesn't matter. He's in his 8th year. And when he comes to the Denver Broncos, that's who he's going to be. He's going to have all that experience. He's going to have all that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So Drew Locke, he's going to be on very, very thin ice. He cannot make mistakes early. He has to be near perfect out the gates, and he better hope that he found a way to get better in the offseason without football, because if he comes out the gates and he starts throwing interceptions and making mistakes the way that he did last year, they're immediately going to gravitate towards Teddy Bridgewater.
Jeremy from Fort Collins. Guys, I listen daily. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy has spoken and was wondering if you can break down Teddy playing in Pat Shurmur's offense for us. Well, didn't Teddy get hurt before he could really play much in Pat Shurmur's offense in Minnesota?
If we're talking about the Case Keenum year, Teddy didn't play at all. Did he play for Pat Shurmur before that?
I don't know. I'll have to look that up. I thought it was just that one year. I thought Shurmur just had him basically in training camp.
Well, Teddy didn't play at all that year.
Right.
He was hurt the majority of the year.
And then he got healthy.
And then you got to the end of the season, and there was this crazy situation where Case Keenum was leading this, like, miraculous year for the Vikings.
Right.
And Mike Zimmer, you get down to, like, week 16, and he says, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. It could be Sam Bradford. It could be Case Keenum.
Right.
It could be Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
Then they got into the playoffs, and they played that exact same game, and they said they didn't know who they were going to play. Well, they ended up sticking with Case Keenum throughout it.
Yeah.
But unless I'm mistaken here, I don't think Teddy played a snap that year.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know what was wild about that year? Because we did look at every game that year. Sam Bradford in week one had one of the best NFL games you would ever hope to see from a quarterback.
He balled.
It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the drama was, like you said very well there, Bridgewater did get healthy, and they just stuck with Keenum because Case was on a roll.
Yes.
Rightfully so. And I think that was the only year Shurmur was with the Vikings that Bridgewater was there, I think. We can go back and check that. We'll do that during the break. But I think that was it. So it would be hard to, you know, sort of break that down, Jeremy. More of your text, top six, and a chance for you to win MLB The Show coming up in the next 10 minutes.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Columbus and D-Man.
We did some digging during the break. It was a little interesting with the Pat Shurmur and Teddy Bridgewater relationship. So Pat Shurmur was the interim head coach for the Eagles in 15, and not good enough because that didn't work out. He gets hired by the Vikings to be their tight ends coach. And I just don't recall all the specifics of why things went south in 2016, but some point in 2016, he's named as the interim offensive coordinator.
Okay.
So you can only assume at some point he replaced somebody because he wasn't hired.
Now that is high level thinking.
Thank you.
Oh boy. Let me see if you're right. Interim offensive coordinator, you can only assume that he replaced somebody.
There you go. How about that?
You know what? You're right. I thought about it and you are right.
Thank you. And then he got the job. In 2017, officially. Bridgewater was really good in 2015, 11-5 as a starter, and gets hurt. He doesn't play at all in 2016. So I'm sure he was around the facility and around people here and there. But it's silly to think that he was that involved with Pat Shurmur, especially considering Pat Shurmur started off as the tight ends coach and Bridgewater wasn't even playing.
Yeah.
So nothing.
And once you go on the IR, many times, now most times quarterbacks are different, but many times when you go on the IR, you leave the facility. You don't come back. You're not in the meetings. You don't have anything to do with anything. The majority of quarterbacks have been around. When they go on the IR, they stick around. They stay in meetings. They hang out for the rest of the season. So I would imagine that Teddy probably at least hung around and he was in the meetings. But your level of engagement that you are actually paying attention in those meetings when you're hurt, pretty low.
That being said, theoretically, Bridgewater would have been exposed to what they were doing offensively, so he would at least have a sense for it. And then comes the next year in 2017. Bradford starts, plays great, gets hurt. Bridgewater's not healthy enough yet, although he's getting better. So you would assume he's more engaged with things, especially because, well, Case Keenum's not going to be the answer, except Case Keenum was the answer.
Right.
In a crazy year where Dalvin Cook got hurt early, and they went with a two-running back approach, and Thielen was incredible, and plays. Diggs was unbelievable, and just Kyle Rudolph, and it was just a magical year for the Vikings. And by the time Bridgewater was healthy enough to play, there was really no need, because why would you upset the apple cart at that point? And they didn't, and they had a hell of a year. Bridgewater had two attempts. I mean, that's it. I don't even know what the circumstance was. So Shermer and Bridgewater, although they've been around each other, really haven't, you know, they don't have that close of a relationship.
Well, they certainly don't have any sort of on-the-field chemistry. Shermer's never called plays for Teddy Bridgewater, and that's really important. As a play caller, just getting used to your guy, getting that comfort level, knowing what he likes, there's really no sort of rhythm. He's just been around. He's seen the system, and yeah, through osmosis, he probably should understand the basic level of a Pat Shermer offense, but there's a huge difference between calling plays for the guy and just teaching him your playbook.
Got a Deshaun Watson update for you.
Okay.
Boy, we haven't.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, huh? So, there's a guy, Tony Busby, who's representing, I think, most of the plaintiffs that are pushing legal action against Deshaun Watson for his massage misdeeds. And then there's Rusty Hardin, who's Deshaun Watson's lawyer. Okay. Here is a statement from Rusty Hardin. In a recent interview, Mr. Busby stated that, quote, a settlement is not happening. We certainly agree that there are currently no settlement negotiations being conducted. While we never have approached Mr. Busby about a settlement, he has approached us on numerous occasions in the past about the possibility of a settlement. We have made clear all along there would be no settlement unless the terms are made public, and all participants are allowed to speak in their own defense at all times. We want none of the participants, the plaintiffs or Mr. Watson, muzzled by a settlement agreement. Mr. Busby does not feel the same. I am a little bemused by Mr. Busby pronouncing piously that his clients are not going to settle and that they want their cases to play out in court. The fact that this whole thing started with his attempt to extort money and avoid court shows that irony is not dead. I guess it has just been raised to a new level. Zing.
Hmm.
Okay, so how do you interpret that?
Well, that's an awfully strong statement, and if you're just kind of following the war of the words between these two lawyers, Deshaun Watson has more or less been getting beat down in the court of public opinion for the majority of this ongoing battle. That was a very strong statement from his lawyer. I'm not going to sit here and assume guilt or innocence based off of some statement from a lawyer, but it certainly would paint Tony Busby in a bad light that, yeah, indeed, he's asked for multiple settlements when he's saying that he's not trying to settle. If you're Deshaun Watson, that's one hell of a gamble to make, though, dude.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I think they're doing. I think Hardin and Watson are playing the long game. And yeah, it sucks here. But they must feel confident enough about their chances in court, whereas they are willing to roll those dice. And again, this is civil court, not criminal court, so Deshaun Watson wouldn't be going to jail. This is just about money here. If it was criminal court, perhaps it'd be different, but it's not. It's civil court. They're ready to battle this out because if they just settle, everybody will just automatically assume Watson is guilty. It'll cost them some money. It's the quickest way to move on if there's just some sort of settlement. I mean, you know, probably teams forget or say, hey, whatever. But I think they're saying, hey, this guy's 25. We can weather this storm for a short period of time if we feel good enough about our case. Because the payoff in the long run with them losing is probably stronger for us.
So here's the dangerous game that Deshaun Watson is playing right now, is that if he were to settle, for example, okay, yeah, it's going to be a bad look for him, but the NFL, they would allow him to come back because along with the settlement, most of the time comes silence and comes
right.
an assumed guilt,
right.
But you can't prove it. So NFL, ironically, would probably give him a chance if he settles. Now, he might have to pay a lot of money and he might not want to do that. But if he plays the long run and he plays this out, even if he doesn't have to pay a dollar to these women, all it's going to take is one or two stories that comes out that is so vivid that the court of public opinion believes those women. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe Deshaun won the actual legal battle, but no team will touch Deshaun Watson because the details of the stories have emerged.
Whew. Wow.
That's a pretty dangerous game to play.
Top six comes up next.